Well, bless the Lord. Thank you for joining me. You're going to get an excerpt of today's teaching on the Manifest Telecast as we share with you a message called Secrets of the Wedding and Marriage Banquet of the Messiah. And let me just share this with you, that all my life of hearing teaching, I don't know if I've ever heard anyone go in, I know they have, but I haven't heard them go into great detail about this particular verse of scripture, and we're going to dig it out today. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 8, and here's what it says. It'll come up on your screen. It says this: I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the voice of the sound of many waters and a mighty thunder, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And that I'm reading, of course, from the New King James Translation. My grandmother, in October of 2012, was in a hospital in Cleveland, Tennessee. Her name was Lucy Bava, a sweet Italian woman. And she had pancreatic cancer. She lived her life in perfect health until the last month of her life. And we knew she would very shortly go to be with the Lord. Walked into the hospital here in Cleveland, and she had a little breathing tube helping her get some oxygen. And she did this. She said, come here, I need to tell you something. And I leaned over, and with a weak voice, she said, I saw your granddaddy in heaven. I said, Grandma, when? She says, early this morning. It was sometime this morning. And he said, Lucy, it's time for you to come home. She says, Perry, I'm getting ready to go home. And I said, oh my. And I love my granny. Oh, she could cook soup and all that, meatballs and all that kind of stuff. Okay. So, I love my granny. So I said, well, did he tell you something? She said, did he tell me something? Listen. She said, he said, Lucy, come with me. She said, now, Perry, I thought he would have a white robe on, but he had like work clothes on. They were different, but they were work clothes. He was working. He took her and he said, she went up on a hill and looked down, and it's like everything opened up and she saw a banquet hall. And she says, this was the most massive banquet hall, Perry. She said it had carved wooden doors. The wooden doors was as far as you could see. There was linen tables, tables with linen cloths that were so white they almost glowed. And she said, he said to her, Lucy, we're getting ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, now look back here. I want to show you. Way in the back, you see the table? All the family is going to be, that's our table, Lucy. That's where all the family is going to be sitting. She died the next day and went to be with the Lord. I've never forgot that dream. So today I want to talk about this event called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Now the Bible tells us actually that there is a wedding of the Lamb. Notice this, and there is also the banquet or the supper of the Lamb. So there's two things that's going on here at one time. Now, let's talk about first a little bit about this idea of the banquet of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? The Lamb is Jesus. We know that without a doubt. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, we find that Paul writes that the church is presently engaged to Christ. That he has caused us to follow, to be a chaste virgin, meaning a pure virgin, someone that's faithful to him, someone that's faithful to the bridegroom, a bride that is waiting for the bridegroom to return. Now in Revelation chapter 11, verse 18, I want to show you something. The Bema, which is the judgment seat of Christ, happens in Revelation 11. That's where the rewards are given. But the marriage supper of the Lamb happens after the Bema and is recorded in Revelation chapter 19. So there is a process of what is happening in Revelation. First is our worship when we get to heaven. Then everybody has to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what you said about people, how you lived, what you did. Some people will have crowns. Some will get absolutely nothing. Their works will be burned at the throne of God, of Jesus Christ, at the judgment. But after that takes place, there's a gap of time, and then we go into what is called the banquet hall for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, this wedding of the Lamb is actually where the legal ceremony of Christ meeting his bride comes together. Now, remember this. Ephesians 1:14 says, the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. The Greek word earnest is, if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to get this wrong, is harabon or a word similar to that. But what it means is, actually, it's the engagement ring. The Holy Spirit is like the engagement ring that a woman wears to show I'm taken. Once you see, you know, when you were a single boy and you saw a girl, the first thing you looked at was what? Not her face, but her hand. Where's my single boys that remember those days when you were single? Why did you look at her hand? To see if she had a ring on. Because if she had a ring on, it meant she might have a boyfriend. You don't want to get into conflict with a fellow that's two times as big as you. So the engagement ring meant she's taken. You better leave her alone. So the Holy Spirit is the earnestness, the engagement ring, showing we are engaged to Christ and we are the bride of Christ. And let me talk about two weddings, because these two weddings would have existed in the time that John wrote the book of Revelation and also in the midtime of Jesus. First of all, there is the Roman wedding. Now, in the Roman time, the father would begin very early to seek a woman, a young girl that he wanted his son to marry. If they were compatible and they met, then they would sign a contract ensuring that that was the woman that the son was going to get. Now, if the groom could afford it, he would buy a gold ring. This is where rings came from. And he would put it traditionally on the third finger on the left hand, because it is believed, and this is an ancient belief, that the vein that runs closest to the heart is this, the vein that comes from this finger to the heart. And that's why the ring, if you didn't know this, was always placed on the third finger. And this is something that they would do if he could afford a ring. Now, you're going to love this, that the Roman woman who's getting married, the bride, would buy normally some type of a wedding dress, and she had a sash that tied a knot in the front of it, and it was known as tying the knot. You ever wonder where that came from? They're tying the knot. It actually came from the Roman time. Now, this was called the knot of Hercules, the knot of Hercules. But guess who untied it? Her husband untied that at the wedding to show she no longer belongs to the family. She belongs to him. So she tied the knot and he untied the knot. Never heard that part in the wedding, did you? We're going to untie the knot today. People freak out if you said that. Now, the bride also had something called a bulla, which had been given to her from her father by the time she was a little baby girl. And so she takes that to the wedding and gives that, it's like a bracelet, and gives that back to the father to signify to the father, I'm no longer yours. I now belong to another man. They then would have a very large, if they were wealthy, wedding banquet that would occur at the bride's house. Okay? Now, I'm going to stop right here and show you a very confusing verse of Scripture. I have preached on, and it is true, Dr. Cutshaw, I think, will agree with me, that the church is the bride of Christ and Christ is the groom. However, there's a verse in Revelation that throws everything for a loop where it says this, come and let me show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he showed me the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Now that sounds like that contradicts everything I just said, because it sounds like that the bride or the Lamb's wife is the city, New Jerusalem. Can I tell you something? Jesus isn't married to a city, he's married to people. Okay, that's point one. Point two, let me tell you why that's said that way. Because the New Jerusalem is the wedding gift to the bride. At every wedding, we don't do this as much now. We send the gifts earlier. We go online and buy them something and they get it, you know. But in every wedding, what do you usually take to a wedding? Talk to me, somebody. You take a gift for the couple. Well, the gift that Jesus has for you and I is a city 1,500 miles square at the base, 1,500 miles high at the top, with 12 foundations of every precious gemstone known. And when you get that wedding gift, I guarantee you ain't no man on earth ever gave you nothing that looked like that. So we are going to live in the city, and that's why it's considered the bride, the Lamb's wife. He's not talking about the building. He's talking about the inhabitants who are living in the city as being the Lamb's wife. Does that make sense to everybody before I go on? Now, that's a Roman wedding. Now, for those of you that got my teaching, I have a teaching on the rapture, which is 10 hours long. There is a DVD in there called The Jewish Wedding, which is one of my favorite. It is my favorite teaching ever done in the history of my ministry. We had 100 cast members enacting a Jewish wedding in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, many, many years ago. They only rehearsed one time. It was flawless. I never saw anything like it in my life. It blew my mind. And so let me talk about this. I'm going to give you the points of a Jewish wedding, okay? A son begins to select a girl that he wants to marry, but the father has to be involved in that particular selection process. If the girl, they have a meeting and the boy and the girl are here and they meet with her father, his father, and they sign a contract, the ketubah, which is a contract in which the man actually pays a dowry for that particular woman to her dad. So in other words, you had to pay the father of the bride, come on somebody, in order to get her. Now, the son, this is real interesting, would return after that to his father's house, and there was no dating. Sometimes they never saw each other until he secretly came to get her. Are you getting the drift, somebody? And so he would actually build a place onto the family house, which would be a place that they would live temporarily till they either inherited the land of the father or until they were able to afford down the road a home of their own. So here's what's interesting. So they built a place and prepared a place. Wait a minute. The son prepared a place for the bride. And Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. That son could never go and take his bridal party, his groomsmen, and go and get that girl until the father gave him permission and said, everything is now ready. And Jesus said, when am I coming back? I don't know. The angels don't know. Only my father knows when that's going to happen. So it's the father who literally is going to tell Jesus. Someone said, do you think Jesus knows when he's coming back now? I really don't. I think it's a secret even to him. And I think that the father will say, son, fullness of time, go get him. And Jesus is going to say, I've been waiting for this for 2,000 years. Really? Think about how cool that's going to be when that happens, okay? Now, one of the things also is you got two wedding parties in the Jewish wedding. You have the one that is with the groom. They are groomsmen that come with him. And you have young virgins. They have to be virgins that are actually keeping the woman excited. Oh, can't you wait? What do you think it's going to be like? What do you think it's going to be like to get married? And that's where you get to the parable of the 10 virgins, because there could be as many as 10 connected to a wedding. And of course, you know the story that there's more to that parable than just the idea of a Jewish wedding. So they would encourage the bride. That was their job. Now the groomsmen, on the other hand, that came with the groom, what they did in that time, they would come and announce he's coming. So they could, this actually happened. Sometimes it would be at night. And they'd be carrying a ladder with them. And they knew where her bedroom was. And they'd come under the ladder and get, behold, the bridegroom's coming. Make yourself ready. The bridegroom's coming. Make yourself ready. And they would announce he was coming. And that woman would slip down that ladder and go away in the night. And they'd get up the next morning and find out she wasn't there. But they knew where to go. They knew at that point where she was. And then they would start their celebration, which, by the way, lasted 7 days. What is the marriage supper of the Lamb? It is the marriage celebration between the groom, who is Christ, and the bride, which is the church from all nations. Now, I want you to remember this. Listen to me carefully. The Old Testament saints that you read about in the Old Testament were already brought out of paradise when Jesus rose from the dead and emptied the earth out. And there was seen walking the streets in Jerusalem, many of the saints of old that had slept. They were already brought out. The next resurrection is for, I quote, the dead in Christ. The rapture is about those who are in Christ. Are you tracking with me? The Old Testament saints are already in heaven. It's the New Testament saints all the way to our time, the dead that are in paradise waiting for the resurrection of the dead, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and there, Jesus will bring their spirits with them when he returns. I'm on a different subject now, but I need to explain this. And so what happens is, and this is important that you have to understand this, that everything about to happen is actually all about Jesus and all about the church, because the Old Testament was already dealt with at the resurrection of Jesus when those Old Testament saints were raised. Does that make sense to everybody? That's why it says the dead in Christ will rise first. and they who are Christ at his appearing. Everything is about resurrection of Jesus all the way to the moment that it happens. So I want to make that clear. Now, the Jewish wedding was always followed by a 7-day celebration. And you can really see this in Judges chapters 14 and 15, where Samson is at a wedding and there's a celebration taking place. And at the end of 7 days, he gave them a riddle, remember? And he gave them 7 days to solve it. So there's your example, early example of a wedding continuing for 7 days. And it did actually continue for that length of time. Now, the wedding that Jesus attended in Cana of Galilee, which is a small town back in that time in the Galilee, is very interesting for this reason. It says, and Jesus was called, that means invited, and so were his disciples called. Now, I researched this in detail because Mary is involved in providing food and drink for that whole crowd. Now, remember, it's 7 days long. Well, they ran out of, you know what the story is, right? They ran out of the wine. She said, we got to do something here because it would be a humiliating embarrassment for her. So who is getting married? Some suggest, you're going to love this, that John the Apostle, it was his wedding. He was a very young man and he was getting married. And there's this connection with the family there. We don't have time to go into all this. You have to study a lot of history to see where this comes up with. But that it's real interesting because Jesus' very first miracle is at a wedding, and the last thing he does in heaven is go to a wedding. Hey, isn't that cool? As it was, so will it be. There's the wedding theme there. Now, Jesus spoke of this meal, which we call the banquet of the Messiah, the marriage supper of the Lamb. I believe he spoke about this when we read the story of the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper, which is actually a Passover type of supper. Now, you all remember the story that if you go to the story of the Passover, it's Exodus chapter 12, and it's where the people were in their home, and you remember what they did. They put the blood on the doorpost on the outside to keep the death angel from coming in, taking the firstborn through death, and then they took a lamb and cooked a lamb, and the families ate all of the lamb. And when they ate all the lamb, the Bible indicates everybody was healed that night. You talk about a mass healing. Everybody got healed the night that they ate the lamb. And the Bible said they came out of Egypt with plenty of gold and silver, and not a feeble person was among them. How great is that? So here's what I want to show you. So you have the Passover lamb of Exodus 12. You have Jesus, who is called the Lamb of God. You have them eating there at Passover, as the Exodus is about to take place, and you have Jesus having a meal with his disciples as he's about to introduce a new covenant. And he takes the cup and he says, this is the cup of my blood. He takes the bread. He says, this is my body. But watch what Luke says about the supper, a statement that Jesus made. Most people read right over this. This never gets preached on Easter for some reason. Passover for some reason, even the Easter season, some people call it that traditionally. Luke 22, 14 through 16. When the hour was come, Jesus sat down with the 12 apostles with him, and he said to them, with fervent desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Luke 22, 28 through 30. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat. What? Oh, I love it. Here we go. That you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes. You know what he's saying? He said, I am not going to eat again with any of you until we get to the kingdom. Now, what is that? That's heaven. That's the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he tells the disciples, and I have a head table. And I'm going to let all of you who are faithful to me sit with me at my head table. Because we're going to let you judge the tribes of Israel. And what he's talking about there is when they return in the millennial reign, those apostles are going to be judging all those Jewish people that remain during the tribulation. And that's what he's referring to there. Woo, that's good right there. My goodness. So if Jesus says, I'm not going to eat until we eat at the marriage supper, he's getting hungry. That's a long time to not eat. I know, you know, I'm sermonizing, so don't get all freaked out on me here while I sermonize a little bit. Jesus has a head table at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He is there. He will have, now remember this, in the book of Revelation, when you see the throne of God, there are 24 thrones around the throne of God, right? You know who they are, don't you? They're the 12 sons of Jacob from the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, because the Old Testament people have to be judged by the Torah and the prophets of the Old Testament. That's why they're there, because they lived under that. These are the patriarchs. This is the Old Testament group. But the New Covenant people are going to be judged, Paul said, by my gospel, which I'm preaching. So that's the 12 apostles of Jesus. Of course, Judas is not there. He went to his own place. The Bible says in Acts, he went to hell to his own place. So he was replaced. So his replacement will be part of the 12 that will actually be there. So he said, now we're going to eat and we're going to drink at the table. Now this is an imagery actually of the Passover that's actually taking place in heaven. But instead of it being a Passover, it is a marriage supper celebrating the Lamb. All right? Because the Lamb of God, who is Jesus, mentioned 26 times in the New Testament as Jesus, is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So this is all about him. John 1:26, John introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. In Revelation, 22 times the word Lamb is mentioned. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb. The Lamb will become the Lion of the tribe of Judah, chapter 5. So Jesus is the Lamb, and that is a Passover imagery, but in this case, it becomes the wedding supper imagery. How do I know? Because he defeated death, hell, and the grave as the Lamb, but after the supper, he changes from being the Lamb to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Everything changes after the supper. Now he gets in war mode, hey, to come back and rule and reign on earth. Now, when does the supper take place? Now, this is very, very fascinating. And let's just give the Lord a hand right now, because I'm getting excited. I'm about to get into something. Now you can hear the latest word on the last days that reveals details of where we are now and what and where major events will happen in the near future from the world's leading prophetic teachers. The 2023 Prophetic Summit is now available to everyone on 13 CDs or on 13 DVDs and also available on an audio flash drive. Here are the speakers and their messages. Jonathan Kahn explained how the demon gods have returned. Lance Wallnau used a whiteboard and taught, "This is about to change everything." And also the eye-opening message, "Heaven is about to do an earth invasion." Mark Biltz used Hebrew charts and pictures to illustrate his messages called Connecting the Dots and one called The Stunning Harbingers of Things to Come. Bill Cloud, a master of Hebrew, taught on the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of idolatry. He also revealed the secret of repairing the breach. Jimmy Evans took us on a fascinating journey from the 1800s to this present age, explaining the timeline of prophetic events. Now, here's what I did. I used numerous scriptures and pictures to illustrate these five messages. Something I have missed concerning the pre-tribulation rapture. The next message was called The Secret of the Wedding and the Marriage of the King. You will also hear in this series the fascinating revelation from the book of Daniel called the future millennial events and the first 75 days when Jesus rules on earth. You will also discover amazing details when Christ returns to earth in the message, White Lightning, the King Messiah, and his battle map. In my fifth message, discover the four biggest things that will happen just before the rapture of the church. Now, you will enjoy 13 hours, imagine that, 13 hours of dynamic prophetic teaching that will leave you encouraged, excited, and informed about the last days. The CD album is $65, and the offer number for that is 23PS-CD. The DVD album is $95, and that offer number is 23PS-DVD. Now, the DVDs will have all the pictures and the PowerPoints and the scriptures that were on the screens. Don't forget that. The audio flash drive is also available for $65 by requesting it and using offer number 23PS-USB. You can call toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD or order online at our website at perrystone.org or send the offer number and send us a note with a check to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. I can guarantee you this. This is going to be the best prophetic series in the 47-year history of our ministry. You will be prepared. You will be informed. You will know the times and seasons, and you will know what to do. So go ahead and order the 13 CDs or the DVD album or the 13 messages that are on the audio flash drive and do it today. God bless you. Well, listen to me very carefully. I have heard a lot of messages. I've heard tens of thousands of prophetic speakers since I was 18 years of age on cassettes. Boy, that's dating me, isn't it? DVDs, audio, you go to YouTube channel. I never heard so many ministers. There was ministers at this conference, 13 messages, that preached things I had never heard in my life. And I'm like, man, I've been preaching 47 years and I have over 170,000 hours of Bible study. And that's not exaggeration from the age of 16 to today. I've never heard this. And I have to go back and re-listen to some of these messages over and over again. So I want you to get this series. And remember that when you get it, you're helping keep Manifest on the air. When enough people get it, it helps us to be able to pay for our airtime. I don't send out letters asking for donations. I don't send out letters to my partners asking for donations. And that ought to mean something to people because I don't get on TV. I told God, if I got to beg, I quit. I'm not going to do this. But we don't beg because God has always provided in 22 years. So please get the material in your hands right now. Call that number today or go online at perrystone.org and do it. I'm going to go through this very quickly. We're coming to Alaska, to Saldanha, Alaska Trinity Christian Center, July 30th through the 3rd. We do two services during the week. So please take a vacation, get a hotel room, come and join us if you've never been with us in service. Then we're coming to King's Chapel in Wasilla, Alaska, to the brand new church there with Pastor Daniel. He's my brother from another mother, man. This guy is an awesome pastor. And all you folks in the area that, you know, because of parking or the attendance and the crowd, you know, couldn't get in or said, well, maybe I can't get in. You can get in this building, okay? And it's fabulous. So you come and join us. Some of you that have never been with us, I better see your face there in Wasilla, okay? That's not a threat, by the way. It's just I want to see your face, okay? Not just your letters and emails. Family Faith Church, Willis Campus, August 18th and 19th there in Willis, Texas. Huntsville, Texas, August the 20th. Christ Temple in Huntington, West Virginia, August the 25th to 27th. Gateway Church, one service only September 10th, Russellville, Alabama, and Oak Grove, Arkansas. You guys are so great to come out down there from the Branson area. This is near Branson, Missouri, in that area. That's going to be September the 20th, one service only. And of course, I've told you I'm coming to San Diego to the Morris Sorrento Legacy Center for one service as well. San Diego, I've never been to San Diego, California. So you can contact their ministry. Well, go to our website at perrystone.org, Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page, Perry Stone YouTube channel. This is how you stay in touch with us. And thank you for your prayers and support. And I'll see you next week on Manifest.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2023 Israel tour. The dates are November 19th through the 28th. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.